The mainstream media, littered with propaganda. A dark, endless sea void of truth. But miraculously, a light shines through. Exposing the frauds for who they are. Every time he creates. Introducing the boldest man on the net. Lance Skurve.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Lance Skurve Show. It's January 8th, 2015. And again, I always say there are two or three or four or even five sides to a story. In the United States, we have this thing called the mainstream media. And many of us are too lazy to pick up our keyboards or mouse pads or mouses and work them to get the real story. We're just spoon-fed things that we accept as gospel. And with the internet, we can go beyond. We can go right direct to the source, but we're just too lazy to do that. Today we have Dr. Vibert Muhammad, who has a few things to say on a particular story that is not being told correctly. It's going to piss a lot of you off. I really don't care. But I'm not going to sit here and be mentally embalmed by CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, and the alphabet boys of the news platforms out here. I welcome you, Dr. Muhammad, and I'd like for you to take over the floor. And as usual, it's wonderful having you. And I believe you will speak for many in telling this angle of a story that has been hidden in many ways to the American people. And share it with us, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Brother Lance, for allowing me to be on the show again. Indeed, for the last 24 hours, the American public, in fact, the world public, has been inundated with one narrative in reference to the Charlie Hebdo magazine or massacre that was just done yesterday in Paris, France. And that narrative is, one, three men go in, they shoot up the place, they kill 12 people. And the argument is that they did this because the magazine illustrated some negative illustrations of Prophet Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, and that they characterize Islam in a negative sense. Well, that may be part of it, but I think there's another side that must be looked upon, because right now the American public and the world public is given this view that Muslims are strange, out of line, terrorists, and if you write something against them, they're going to go into your home, your business, your church, your synagogue, and begin to shoot up or blow up. And this is not actually the truth. There is another line. There's another story that must be told. And that story is the element of racism. The media doesn't tell you that the blacks, the Arabs, the Asians, and the Muslims in France have been fighting for years for equality and justice. France, in their treatment of Muslims and Arabs and blacks, is one of the most racist countries that you'll find in Europe. This is not to exclude all of Europe, because right now there is a move going across Western Europe that is anti-black, anti-Arab, and anti-Muslim. As I mentioned last week on the air, on this show, that over 17,000 Nazis marched in Germany asking for the government to deport all Muslims, all blacks, all Arabs out of the country. And the same type of movement is going on in France. For example, many sisters who wear scarves, or what you may call hijabs, they cannot work with them on. In fact, when they wear them in the street, this is the Muslim garb that women wear, wear them in the street, they're harassed, they're beaten up. Some of them are even raped. We have cases in France whereby Muslims and Arabs and blacks, they are accosted, they're beaten up by gangs. And when they take their issue to the court, more times than not, it's dismissed. We have issues of racial profiling in the country, being stopped or being placed and accused of crimes that they did not do, and they are placed in jails. In fact, something like 60% of the prisoners in the jails in France are black and Arab and Muslim descent. These are things that are not talked about that should be talked, that should be mentioned. So right now in France, you have a xenophobic attitude that is taking place among the white citizens in that country. And that view is that, one, they feel as if their culture is being taken from them, that they're going to lose their French culture, and they must stop it now. The view that Islam becoming too great of a force there, and that is being and is, that is attracting French, young white French people to be Muslims or to look at that religion as being something that's possible. They feel as if their infrastructure is being inundated with too many Muslims and Arabs and Africans. In fact, typically, for example, when the Prime Minister of Israel visits France, they do not allow him to see Arabs or Muslims or blacks who may be working, who may work within their federal system. They kind of hide them. They keep them away. So it's clear that the blacks, the Arabs, and the Muslims in France are really second-class citizens, and that they are marginalized. And so many French people feel as if, well, they have to do something because there are 6 million Muslims in that country right now. 3.1 million of them are North African, and 400,000 are Middle Eastern, and 100,000 are Africans. So therefore, they feel as if their society is being taken from them and that they must characterize Muslims as being dangerous, as being out of line and not involved with the French culture and society. We also must note that many of the Arabs and blacks and Muslims there, they are discriminated from going to college and universities. They are locked out of certain schools within that country. They're regulated to certain jobs, like manual jobs. So therefore, there is a problem. So the government that is headed by Prime Minister Manuel Valls, who when he came into the government there as the Prime Minister, he said that things were going to change and that he was going to have a colorblind society. It has not happened. It is not taking place. So what happens? You have people who will are fed up. They will push the button to one element. Now, we cannot assume that since we live in the United States that all people are going to respond to racism, discrimination, hostility in a manner that we respond to it. That is, most people in the United States who are African-American or African descent, we respond by marching, by slogans, no peace, no justice, by working through the system, seeing that the system will handle it, or utilizing the judicial system, thinking that that will handle it. But people on the outside not necessarily will follow the way that we think they should follow. When people are fed up throughout the world, they will utilize another force. And this force is the case whereby they go in and they attack the media. Now, some of you may say, well, why would they go in and shoot up the Charlie Hebdo magazine offices? Well, you have to understand that the media oftentimes, especially in countries like that, are nothing more than a mouthpiece of the government. Just like the French Airways or Air France that you may travel on, it is really owned by the French government. And by the way, they've been discriminated a lot against Arabs and Muslims and blacks who fly on their flights. even from the United States. We have cases of that, and we have the record to show that. So the point is that other people may be spying in another way, because the media is nothing more than a mouthpiece of the government. So therefore,
That's right.
they attack the media. It's
That's
a pure sign. Just like we say the media represents democracy. Well, not necessarily. We had something in the United States that we had as far back as the Spanish-American War called yellow journalism, which is also taking place in France, where they highlight or they exaggerate activities that has taken place to make one side look good and the other side look bad. That's called yellow journalism that we have in this country coming from the 1890s, the Spanish-American War. So those things are taking place too. Now, note, the young men who was part of this, one was the age of 18, the other two was 32 and 34. The one who is 18 has already turned himself in because, according to news reports, he saw his face plastered all over the social media. But the other two, which is very more interesting, these other two are Algerian descendants. I mean, they are Algerian descent from the country Algeria in North Africa. Now, note, the French had controlled Nigeria since the 1830s. They controlled Algeria for 132 years. Within that control, they forced people to do away with their Islamic behavior and culture, and force them to take on new religious attitudes and concepts. They took over the country, bringing forth a new society, and made those people, the Algerians who lived there, second-class citizens. It would not be until the late 1950s, early 1960s, that they would take on strength to fight the French and to kick the French out by 1962. But note, after the independence of Algeria from the French, many Algerians migrated to France to live as good French men. They joined the military. They joined the police force. They paid taxes. They did everything that the French thought they should do to be adequate and to be bona fide members of their society. But still, they received second-class treatment. As a footnote for you, even when the French was fighting the Vietnamese in the late 1950s, many of their soldiers were Algerians and other North Africans, all right, showing that they wanted to be part. So the point here, Brother Lance, and for your listening audience, as this story begins to unfold, please, please, please be aware of the propaganda, because there is the benefit of the Western powers, the French, the Italians, the Germans, the English, and the Americans, to create a narrative that Muslims are terrorists, they're uncivilized, and they go around shooting people over an issue of depicting the Prophet of Islam in a negative way. Of course, this is offensive, but to argue that they just went after these people for wrong. As a footnote to this, many of you who may say, well, Professor Muhammad is wrong, and these people cannot stand to have their prophet depicted in a negative way. I ask you, if you want to go with that line of thought, when was the last time that you seen a picture of Jesus performing homosexual acts? Or Moses smoking marijuana and drinking and getting drunk and carrying on in a negative and a sexual manner? When?
How would they feel?
Have you ever seen that? All right?
Right.
Have you seen it from that magazine, Charlie Hebdo? Of course not. But these are the types of images that they were they were doing to Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, in their magazines. So I mean, so you have to look at the full story. Am I condoning violence? Of course not. We are peaceful people. We don't encourage violence unless we're attacked.
Right.
But to create an imagery that they just went out in a mad manner, in an uncivilized manner, because they got heated over some pictures or shoot some people, that is not accurate. And so I ask you to analyze, to critique, to review, and to study. And don't go for the okie dokie, as we like to say in the streets. Don't go for that.
Exactly.
And because there's always what another side of the story. And I would give information as they're disclosed. I have information coming in from overseas, and when I have that, I will give you more information to the public as to what the real story is on the ground level.
Yes.
Brother Lance?
And this is why I appreciate your presence so much, because you bring a different side, a different perspective, a bigger perspective, because over here on American soil, we're limited as to what we can get from the so-called mainstream media. So this is why it's important, and I tell everybody again, to reach out to people. We don't have to lick a stamp anymore and write a long letter and wait days for it to arrive to its destination. We can speak in live time. And it just seems to me that we have this wonderful thing called social media and the Internet where we can communicate in live time, but we don't utilize that. We're inundated with all of these visuals and images. And if you ever put on CNN, and I pick on them, but any so-called major news platform here in America, and you leave it on and you go about doing your chores, after a while, your head will begin to hurt, because they run the same clips over and over and over.
Yeah.
And they say studies have been made that for you to truly absorb something, you're going to have to do it or receive it at least 7 times. And there are times when I wasn't aware that I had these things on in the home, and I said, man, my head's starting to hurt. This is the reason why. Let me cut this TV off, because you're getting one side of it. And most people who are gullible, who see the fancy graphics, say to themselves, well, this has to be the story because it's on CNN or Fox News.
Right.
No, talk to the people on the ground. And you have people that you're in contact with, who you're friends with. Your reach is worldwide, and I know that you're going to bring it the way it should be brought.
And also, I want to make mention before we get off, you know, last year alone in France, they had over 400 incidents of major anti-Islamic activity in the country. What I mean by this, have cases whereby Muslim mosques and schools would be faced with swastikas,
mm-hmm.
Pigs, dead pigs, being placed in the homes and in front of the businesses and the stores of Muslims and Arabs and North Africans in France. We have cases of this. State-run companies discriminate against them constantly. So again, while we as people of African descent are going through our struggles against the government and trying to have our government to answer to our needs and to treat us as equal citizens in this country, that same story is taking place throughout Europe. The only difference is that in Europe you have some people and you have some groups who will not just march, but they will pick up the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the problem that many people of the West see. They're not uncivilized. They're not crazy. They're not barbaric. They are fighters for what they think
right.
is right. When
right.
when a society consistently over hundreds of years are determined to treat them as if they do not belong within that community, and to malign them and to polarize them as being something that is not human, taking away their humanity. So yes, so keep in light of the story.
And let me just ask you, you're a professor of history. Why is it that the so-called founding fathers of America are not looked at as crazed in their fight against the British? Why are they glorified when they pick up the sword? Why is it that they are not looked at as crazy? But anybody who is fighting their oppressor, other than someone in that bloodline, is painted as being crazed. What's the difference?
Well, it's really no difference, except that one is white and the other one is non-white. I mean, in this country, we have a fascination with the founding fathers as being the great spiritual, political, intellectual leaders of our society that created this wonderful democracy that we live in. So therefore, all of their faults, their raping, their pillaging, their beheading of people, yes, they beheaded people, their killing of people, is looked upon as being one, a necessary good. Listen to this. A necessary good for the establishment and the growth of our society. I mean, we even forgive Thomas Jefferson for his raping and misusing of black women within his plantations. We excuse George Washington of his negative attitudes towards people of African descent and the slaves. We excuse Patrick Henry when he says that we should kill, all right, and shed the blood for our independence. We excuse all of that. But when it comes down to people, especially of African descent, and people who are brown and red and yellow fighting for their independence, we try, the American public, the Western society who are white, try to tell them how to behave. The only time that we encourage another people to shed blood for the independence is when it benefits either the United States, France, Italy, Great Britain, or Germany, one of those great powers. When it benefits them, for example, when the people were revolting in Egypt, all right, it benefited us to say, yes, fight and go against the forces of Mubarak. Kill as many as you can. It benefited us. When they rose up in Libya against Colonel Gaddafi, which was spearheaded by the French, people don't know, spearheaded by the French on the ground level along with the Americans, we said, rise up and kill him because it benefited us. You see? However, if there is something that's taking place in England where the African people there, the people of African descent there, begin to rise up in a forceful manner, the first thing we're going to say, oh, don't do anything, it's barbaric, do things peacefully, work through Parliament, let the Queen handle it. You see, it's contradictions, paradoxes, and more so hypocrisy that we have.
Yes. I'm glad you clarified that, because it shows that it all depends on how one chooses to look at it and how they excuse the actions of one but demonize and use the propaganda on the actions of another without fully understanding what's behind it. You know, and I always use the analogy, and I say, if you see a woman running out of the house with a knife that has blood on it and a man coming out stabbed up, people would say, well, that lady's crazy. She's crazed. But if you dig deeper and found out that that man was caught raping her young child, now you could understand why she was upset and why she did what she did, and it puts it in a proper context. The only thing is that this is why they don't want you to get the other side of things and to get the whole story. So, and I know your time is limited, but I just have one more question for you. It just seems to me that it's just a total attack against Islam worldwide. Everything Islamic is bad. Everything Christian is good. And we don't knock anybody for their way of serving God. But why is it broken down this way? Why is one put up as the standard of being good, and why is one put down as being so bad, especially when so many crimes have been done here on American soil in the name of Christianity? Why the anti-Islam feeling going on here and the propaganda and actions?
Well, historically, Islam, when it settles within a community and a country and a region, creates new questions, especially if there are issues that are unjust. So they raise new questions, and Muslims, by nature of their religion, are activists in fighting for human rights. If they were slaves or if they were freed people, regardless, they fight for human rights along this line, and they ask questions, highlights the contradictions, even within their own society. Not to give you the perspective that even in Islamic societies it's all just, but the people who are victimized constantly rise up and ask questions and try to change and rebel. Then secondly, another element that you have is that the Muslim community is a very educated and a growing, affluent community throughout the world. Just like the Jews were in another time or the Germans were in another time, educated, developing businesses, becoming scientists, engineers. So therefore, where you have people working at this level, they can change the dynamics of the world.
Yes.
And thirdly, the European population is declining throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're holding on to keep control of what they have. I mean, in Germany and in Sweden and Switzerland and England, that population is declining, while the black population, the Arab population, the Asian Indian population, the Muslim population is growing. So instead of them saying, hey, we can still live together in peace, they're creating elements of polarization. See, one of the contradictions we have in Western society is this belief in cultural pluralism. And cultural pluralism is no more than the idea that all people should be able to live in peace, hold on to their culture, hold on to their ways, and still be accepted in that society. We see this is not the case. In France, as I said, they want everyone to become French people as they. Do away with your Islam. Do away with your perspective. In Germany, you know, the same thing. Become a good German. Forget about your cultural premise and your cultural ways. And even elements in the United States, we have that. I mean, we have it in a different manner. We have a number of people who say, well, if you live in this country, you should follow the generic dictates of Christianity. You should speak English, and because English is our language, forget about anything else. You should act according to how we say that you should act. And all of these things run counter to cultural pluralism, because cultural pluralism is nothing more again than a case whereby I accept you, Brother Lance, but Brother Lance, you say that you're a Christian, and you say that you go to a church on Saturday as opposed to Sunday, and that you say that you will not do a certain type of thing. I accept you for who you are, all right? But if I say, you know, Brother Lance, for you to be my friend, you have to go to Juma with me on Friday. You have to speak Arabic with me and say Arabic prayers, and to wear a gown as I do on Friday. See, that would be a contradiction. But Western society as a whole, they want people to function, to behave in their manner, and if you do not, no matter how sweet they say that it's not so, it is so, you see, and they will have a problem with you. I mean, if you want to test this, I ask any of your believers, any of your listeners, pardon me, who like to wear kente cloth, go forget about Kwanzaa, go in July and wear a kente cloth suit to a meeting, you see, or go and wear your a mud cloth to your job, and see how people treat you. See, or say now that, you know what, I have become a Hebrew and I have to be off at a certain time. See how they treat you, all right? Especially if you are African descent, you will be looked upon as if you are violent, you're militant, you're crazy, and more so, you're un-American.
Exactly.
And that's the real skinny of it. Nobody else would say this. In fact, about it, I was speaking to a friend of mine earlier who was a journalist, and I asked him, are you going to write something about this? And, man, I'm not touching this.
Wow.
Because they're afraid. Unless you write the same narrative. Now, if I get heat from it, I'll let you know, and you'll see that, well, Brother Viber got heat from it because this country does not practice cultural pluralism. As they say, does. But regardless, we have to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it doesn't make a difference on what side of the pendulum that you hang on. If you believe, if you're aligned with the French, that's fine. You have every right to do so. And if you don't, that's fine too. You have every right to do so. But let fact dictate your thoughts.
That's right.
Let information,
that's right.
Real information, dictate your emotional feelings and your attitude. Just don't jump out there because you see a picture, you hear a story, the same story on CNN, Fox, C-SPAN, and NBC, NSBC, all of them. It's the same narrative. Ask your question. As we used to say back in the day, Brother Lance, beep the lines. Ask what they're not telling you. Right?
Beautifully said. Beautifully said.
And I'm sad that many of my Muslim brothers and sisters in the country, I've been seeing them on a different organizations coming out condemning. Ask the full story. Condemn the killings, yes, if you want. But
right.
Let it stop there. Find the full stories that's taking place.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. Wow. Thank you so much. I don't know if there's any more you wanted to say, but I just want to say to everybody out there, we will be on this story as we will other stories, and we seek to bring what the mainstream media doesn't, or what they don't want you to see. And you've spoken nothing but truth. You've spoken nothing but fact. And it's always a pleasure, Dr. Vibert Muhammad. And I want you, just before we go, to plug our show on Sunday.
Yes, please listen in at 10 o'clock, from 10 to about 11. Every Sunday we have the Time and What Must Be Done lecture series that's spearheaded by Minister Louis Farrakhan. But after 30 minutes of listening, we have news of what is taking place in our community. In fact, I put it this way, it is the most informative program that you will hear on the web and in live radio in this country that speaks our interests, the interests of people of African descent, the interests of the oppressed, the interests of the marginalized and polarized Muslim community and other communities. Tune in. It is the hottest show that's taking place. You can call in at
the call-in number is 760-259-2310. Again, that's 760-259-2310, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Sunday mornings.
Yes, and we have a special guest that we're going to have on this Sunday. And I haven't even told Brother Lance, but it's going to be a surprise and shock to all. So come on, listen in, and it's going to be hot, it's going to be right, it's going to be good, and it's going to be productive for our people. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to it. Brother Vibert, I guess we're going to wrap this up. And thanks again. You're a blessing from the God above. And all I can say is, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you. Have a beautiful day, all of you.
You too also, brother.